Hi.
Hello, Graham.
How's it going?
All right, everybody, welcome to Heel Toe Corner Club. We are Graham from Minute Rice Channel and Marcus from Heel Toe Automotive. That's me, I'm the Marcus. And we're here to bring you some entertaining content related to the Honda and Acura market, Honda and Acura cars, just the general automotive aftermarket. Stuff to do with selling parts probably here and there. Stuff to do with...
Thought-provoking. On topic.
I don't know. Thought-provoking. I feel like we're the ones that are supposed to have the thought.
Yeah, I know.
Then,
But hopefully you have some thoughts, too. Hopefully
one of the last ones we did, I just posted today the one about the supercharger backorder thing.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And I'm, like, putting it up thinking... How many people are going to listen in their car where they're driving and just sort of cheer? Like, yeah, this is all crap that it takes too long to get this stuff. But it's like, I'm hoping that we could bring some perspective.
Yeah.
Because we had some good points in that one that I think, you know, we have a unique view. We, meaning Heel Toe, maybe, have a unique view on selling stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's definitely not just based on marketing and building and all of this. It's a lot of it word of mouth, but we talk to customers a lot and have noticed a lot of trends and things like that. So we're hoping to bring some perspective to your car building or parts buying.
Yeah. Yeah. Your sense of timing and just your understanding of the supply chain that you're relying on to order these parts.
Right. It's and really something that I don't say a lot to people is that when I feel like when I get an order, I look at it like you're entering into an agreement with
us. Yeah, it's like a contract, really,
Well, but people that are customers don't necessarily think that way. They think they're buying a service, and they are. They are buying into a service, but that's a two-way street.
It is, yeah.
You know, it's not just a, you know, transaction to us. Mm-hmm. There's no robots in the back pulling stuff like we're doing it, and if we see an anomaly in an order, we like to call. And you know, I actually had somebody tell me one time that we email and call too much.
I don't think I've ever really felt that way. I guess, well, there's probably those like automated Amazon emails. And they're like, "How did you like our product? Please give us a review." I'm like, "No, just stop."
Yeah,
it's a toilet brush. I'm not going to give you a review.
Yeah,
I don't care.
Yeah. Some of that's important. Some of it's not.
Yeah,
you know. But I think that. What he was complaining about at the time was there were a lot of automated emails that would go and everything.
Gotcha.
We emailed you and confirmation, we got your email. Like, okay, well, we turned a lot of that off. But
sure.
Anyhow, that's what this podcast is supposed to be about. Mm-hmm. It's really not about shilling parts or bragging about Heel Toe or really anything like that. It's just supposed to be entertaining and some perspective.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, we're going to bring along some tech topic. Which I have one in mind for today.
I was going to say, sounds like you do.
I do. And part of the reason why is because I was watching some of the statistics of our YouTube, and I don't really get good statistics right now on the podcast portion, but seemed like the one that we did talking about blow-off valves got a lot of response.
Probably.
Yeah.
Because that's a topic people look up all the time, and they go, what the hell am I doing here?
Yeah,
you know, like, what do I want to do?
That one was a little heavy, I feel like. I mean, I would think it was a great topic, and some people probably really interested in that, but it's a little bit more focused in on people who have turbocharged applications.
Which isn't necessarily the majority of Honda and Acura owners.
No, not really. Yeah. Some of the newer ones, but yeah, there was this whole learning cycle that I think that a lot of people that were into turbo systems went through that the Honda people just never really got.
Yeah, because they're just like, eh.
Well, they never really got it because,
A,
most of the Honda turbos up until now were all naturally aspirated cars, and they were all speed density cars. They didn't have mass airflow sensors, so it just was kind of a non-issue for most Honda people for decades.
Yep.
And then now it's all of a sudden an issue, and it's kind of funny watching some of the Honda people come through.
Wait, what is this again?
First of all, here's what turbo boost feels like. Second of all, you know, now you have to learn some crap that you didn't know before. It wasn't handed down. Anyway, that topic was pretty good. So I thought today we could talk about clutches.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Clutches as a topic that's a lot more reaching.
If you're an enthusiast, you probably have a clutch. And you will probably have to replace it sooner than most people.
Right. And when you have to replace your clutch, I might as well put...
Yeah, stage 90.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
You know exactly where I'm going. Oh, yeah. So, first things first. Clutch has got
to... I
found
this on the web.
Oh, yeah?
Sorry.
Yeah.
Siri gets a little mouthy sometimes.
Yeah, that bitch. Clutch is something that you buy to fit a need.
Yeah, yeah.
You should always buy the mildest clutch that will serve your needs.
That is God's honest truth.
Do not think that I'm a badass, or I will soon be a badass, and therefore buy what you consider to be a badass clutch.
No, I know now the car only makes 220 wheel horsepower, but when it makes 600...
I actually will be boosting this car. So that's actually sort of part of the conversation that I end up having with folks.
Yeah.
Is like, okay, well, what are you doing with the car? Well, I've got...
full bolt on.
FBO.
Exactly.
I'm full FBO. Bolt on. I'm full bolt on.
Yeah. I'm stage four.
I'm stage four build.
4.5.
I don't even know what that means.
I know. It's
but
nonsense.
They are full bolt on. I'm like, okay, do you drag race your car? Mm-hmm. Of course, people do.
Yeah.
At the track with slicks on. Sometimes.
Does the freeway count?
That's no. I mean, roll racing, no. The strength of the hold of the clutch has to, you don't want that to be your weakest link.
Yeah.
And if you've got a lot of traction and you're dumping the clutch, that instant grab and hold mm-hmm. has to be strong enough to overcome, you know, like all that traction.
Your grip, yeah.
Right. If the tires are slipping, then your clutch is holding, mm-hmm. right? But if you try to launch it and the clutch doesn't hold, that's when you need a stronger one, right?
Yeah, when your RPMs are rising and you're not spinning your tires.
Right, exactly. But if you're not in that scenario, the likelihood of you not being able to break your tires loose,
mm-hmm.
how realistic is that?
Yeah.
Really, I mean, and I think that's, if you can spin the tires, your clutch is doing just fine.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you don't necessarily need a quote-unquote stronger one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is a difference between how confident and direct that engagement feels.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So more aggressive disc materials will grab a hold
mm-hmm.
and then maintain hold strong, like as you're continuing to abuse it. You know, heat is an issue too. If you're building up heat, certain materials are going to break down
mm-hmm.
and not hold after they get too hot.
Yeah.
But even on like road racing applications, Tom O'Gorman, race car driver extraordinaire, front runner,
mm-hmm.
S2000 with a K24 in it, OEM S2000 clutch.
Yeah.
Full competition.
Because why not?
Race winning car.
Yeah.
Full stock clutch.
I get fairly tired of hearing everybody say, oh, you need an Exidy twin, man. You need an Exidy twin. Get an Exidy
for
twin.
For what? You really don't. I mean,
I'm like,
now,
I know it's cool and it's purple and it's anodized
right.
and all that, but...
Now, for on the other end of the spectrum,
yeah.
right? We sponsored Shea Racing and the World Challenge Accord V6,
mm-hmm.
and they needed a clutch. Now, there's lots of different clutches they could have put in there,
mm-hmm.
but we wanted to put something in that was durable because they wanted to try to go the majority of a season without having to change it.
Yeah.
And the car does make more power. It's, you know, 300 horsepower car. Tom's car is like 200 horsepower
sure.
car. So. They needed something that was going to put up with the extra weight of the Accord. There's a lot more to move, which mm-hmm. means the clutch has that much more stress on it. I mean, that literally is the link between everything on the mass side of the car trying to move
mm-hmm.
under the power of the engine while, you know, the road is trying to work against it. The more mass, the more the road is going to work against you.
Yeah.
So
it's like a reverse brake disc almost.
It's exactly
yeah.
like, I'm glad you said
yeah.
that, because that's one of the things, like if you could think about the flywheel as a big brake rotor
yep.
and the disc material as your brake pads,
yep.
then all
it's
of a sudden a lot of this makes a lot more
yeah.
sense. So when you, when we spec'd out the clutch for that car, we went with a Tilton multi-plate, you know, a twin disc clutch.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because they wanted to be able to adjust it.
Mm-hmm.
it was going to remove a lot of mass
yeah.
from the crankshaft because the flywheel is pretty light, the clutch is pretty light, and all the mass is towards the middle. Mm-hmm. So very easy to spin, and you will get more acceleration out
yeah.
of it.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So in addition to it being a more durable clutch, mm-hmm. that they didn't have to change things nearly as often as they thought. They actually didn't need to change anything at all.
Good.
They got more performance out of it because it was a more compact clutch setup. Mm-hmm. So twin disc. Win
yeah.
in a race car, yeah. right? On the road, it's getting pretty extreme.
It can be, yeah.
Right? Now, they weren't making all that kinds of power, even though the clutch could hold a lot more power. It was still a good application. You know, if you've got a sand car, you know, yeah. if you've got any kind of real, like, actual race car, you know, these kind of clutches make sense. But as soon as you have to drive it in traffic...
It changes a bit.
It yeah. changes the whole story. So
I have a couple of anecdotes about that from my FA5 mm-hmm. Where I completely overbought. And Jay, our mutual acquaintance
sure,
Jay,
yeah.
mm-hmm. he told me, dude, don't do it. Don't go to the stage 4, stage 6, you know, whatever. So I got a competition clutch for my Civic. It had a supercharger at the time. So I was like, oh, I need a
competition clutch.
I need a competition
right.
clutch. Yeah.
It's in the name, competition,
yeah, exactly.
right?
Exactly. I compete sometime, and I'd feel like I got my pants down. I don't have this clutch. So, yeah, I put this damn clutch on the car, and this was the real mistake. I put on an upgraded Omni master cylinder at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And
Upgrade/downgrade?
Yeah. And so this clutch pedal became easily the stiffest pedal in the car.
Yeah.
Every single place I took it to service it, they were like, is there something wrong with your clutch pedal, yeah. dude? Because it's stiffer than the fucking brake. And it was so stiff that over the course of the year and a half that competition clutch was on the car before it failed, unfortunately, I actually snapped the clutch pedal off.
Yeah.
It broke the yeah. bracket. The bracket yeah. tore, and I had to have it rewelded and reinforced and put it back in the car.
Now, the other
That's
thing,
how stiff this was.
The other thing that does is that the stiffness of the pedal comes from it being a really heavy pressure plate.
Yeah.
So the spring of the diaphragm that holds the whole thing together when your foot is off the bed. That's the diaphragm. And yep. when that spring is really strong, of course, you get a lot of clamping force.
Mm-hmm.
The clamping force...
Yeah, it presses the flywheel and the clutch disc together,
right.
which is great.
But to overcome that
yes.
with your
the
clutch
fluid
pedal,
in your system.
You're actually yeah. pushing really hard on the diaphragm,
mm-hmm.
which...
To flex it.
It flexes the springs, but it also pushes the whole assembly.
Yeah.
You're putting pressure, a side load on the flywheel, which puts a side load on the crankshaft.
Mm-hmm.
Which will fuck up your thrust bearings
yeah.
in the crankshaft. So a lot of J-Series people have found that if they have improperly stacked or put a really heavy clutch in, that they'll grind up those thrust bearings, and then you got to rebuild the engine.
Yeah,
because you put more clutch in. Now, some of these clutches, they're there to, you know, if you need that much hold, that's great. But sometimes that's a car that they're rebuilding all the time.
Yeah.
You know, a top fuel car, they rebuild the engine after every
Constantly.
Run. Now, if
yeah.
we're talking about, you know, top level drag racing imports, mm. they're probably not rebuilding the engine every single
no.
pass. But after every event, you better be,
Looking
the hell yeah, they're tearing the yeah. whole thing down.
yeah.
So the clutch only really needs to last for a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's more about how many passes you made or how long you were on track.
Well, and your consistency, yeah. they'll check the hours. But, you know, I'm sure the teams will find, you know, if you tear it down often enough, you'll find the wear areas. And then, no, okay, this hasn't really worn. I don't need to check it. They'll kind of, you're not doing that.
No.
You're just getting a clutch for your car and you want it to have a sportier feel.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Number one thing you should do is lightweight flywheel, right? The lightweight flywheel is what's going to help you actually have more performance. The car will accelerate faster, and if you put the car in a dyno before and after, you actually get more power to the wheels.
Yeah, yeah. And my FA5 did. It had a lightweight aluminum flywheel.
Mm-hmm.
And how quickly and how easily you could rev match when you downshifted
yeah.
was, like, stupendous.
Yeah, the engine management in modern cars is trying to work against the reviness of the engine. They want
yeah.
it to be a stable ramp up and ramp down of RPMs because
mm-hmm.
it's better for emissions.
Sure.
But, you know, we all want to go blip, 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 ring, ring,
yeah,
ring.
Yeah, but it's not fun.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
So you put a lightweight flywheel in. That's going to enhance the performance of your car. There's really no negative to this. A lot of times folks on older Hondas,
mm-hmm.
B16s, B18s that didn't have a lot of torque, there was this big trade-off of drivability because
yeah.
you'd have to keep the revs up a lot more to get the car off the line.
Yeah.
The spinning flywheel literally... keeps the engine running when you let the clutch out.
Its inertia keeps spinning, so if it gets lighter, it has way less.
Exactly. Yeah. And when you have a car that only has 100 or 120 foot-pounds, you actually need to provide a lot more torque by giving it more revs to get it off the line.
Yep.
But newer cars, any K-Series, K24, and the J-Series, you could put a really light flywheel, and it really doesn't interrupt your driving experience that much. Yeah. There's a little bit of a relearn, but not that much. Mm-hmm. I was surprised in my TSX when I threw the lightweight flywheel in how much it really didn't change.
What weight did you go from to? Well, it's like 20-something pounds.
One of our favorite One of our favorite brands for flywheels is Osco. Mm-hmm. They're one of our oldest vendors. Literally, when I started my company, it was ordering parts from Japan, OEM Honda parts from Japan, and then I sold clutches and flywheels because that was a local guy to me, a really great clutch builder who's no longer in business. He was a private guy, but he went out of business, but he sold Osco flywheels, an Orange County, California secret, you know, but they do tons of great work on Porsches and Mustangs and very great performance parts.
Stuff,
and they make flywheels for all kinds of cars too. And so Osco is sort of my like go-to brand for flywheels, but also Clutch Masters. If we sell Clutch Masters clutch, a lot of times a Clutch Masters clutch goes with it. Spec flywheels are really good when you're using a spec clutch, but unlike the Clutch Masters ones, spec tends to do kind of like weird things with their flywheels to get their clutches to work on different applications.
Proprietary shapes and things?
Yeah. Yeah. If you're using a spec clutch, it's pretty much that you're going to want a spec flywheel and vice versa.
Like the way they bolt on and stuff.
I'm sure there are exceptions to this, but, you know, those are our kind of three biggies right now, Osco.
Gotcha.
But, you know, we do competition flywheels. We do Fidanza flywheels. They're all great, but I usually say just get the lightest one you can.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes that'll be an aluminum and sometimes it'll be chromoly. The difference between those two, I won't get into too much detail because we were trying to talk about clutches. But the number one thing with the aluminum flywheels is they cost a little bit more up front, but that's a lifetime flywheel pretty much. If you maintain it, next time you change your clutch, you can replace the heat shield that's the friction surface on there and keep running it. If you torch a chromoly one, it's junk. You can't really resurface them. You know, you throw it in the trash and it's kind of like a shame. But, you know, at least the aluminum ones you can maintain. And we do sell the replacement friction surfaces, or they call them heat shields.
Cool.
So the flywheel is really where you're going to get your performance from by upgrading your clutch package. I'll lump flywheel in with clutch. Now, the clutch you should get, understand that there are two main components to a clutch. There's the pressure plate and the disc.
Yep.
A lot of people say, I need to change my clutch. They're talking about the disc.
Yeah, because the disc gets worn out.
But to me, the clutch isn't the disc. The clutch is both of them together.
Yeah. I mean, overwhelmingly, like you were explaining, the sensation you're going to feel the most when you hit that pedal is mostly about the pressure plate.
Well, but my clutch is worn out. They're looking at and holding the disc in their hand.
Yeah.
And the clutch as an assembly, maybe only the disc is worn out.
Well, that's
like
you could
still put a new disc with an old pressure plate.
That's like going back to brakes, too, where it's like, well, do you need pads and rotors? Do you need pads
and
caliper?
Again, the analogy is perfect that you bring that up. Because I need new brakes. Universally, they're saying they need new
pads. Yes, brake pads.
You need new brake pads.
Yeah.
My brakes are worn. That's both the components. I need new brakes. That's both the components, right? You may not actually need new rotors, right? I need to do some maintenance on my brakes, whatever. The nomenclature is...
It's loose.
It is a little loose. So like I try to nail people down. What do you actually need? Anyway, the clutch cover, which is the pressure plate, and the disc, which is the disc, are two separate components, but typically bought together.
Do you have one here?
I don't know.
You know, I was just curious if you had one like right next to us, it'd be like, ta-da.
No. I don't know. In my mind, I'm still doing this mostly for people listening on a podcast.
Okay.
I feel like the video is a formality. Well, I mean, we get hundreds of views on the videos, but I don't feel like the video is really...
Well, maybe people can comment, because you're saying that our search results or our view stats aren't good.
I don't know.
Would they be better if we had a clutch here?
Do you want visual aids? I mean, some podcasts, you get kind of left out if there's a video content that you miss out on. But maybe that's okay. I don't know. I do not have
that's
a clutch.
It's in the side.
On the shelf, right?
I just was like, hey, shit, if we have them right here. Yeah.
I happen not to have. But all right. But that's okay. I think people know what these things look like.
Hopefully.
So the pressure plate, that one, as we were saying, mm-hmm. is going to relate more towards the pedal feel, right? Because one of the comments that people make when they're looking for clutches, I don't really want a very heavy one, or yeah. I want to, or sometimes people really do want to feel it. You know, my clutch is so light right now. I'd like to have something that has a little more, you know,
pain.
A feel behind it. Yeah, pain. Well, you can go to what's normally called a heavy-duty pressure plate, which is just sort of a mild upgrade, you know, and it won't really hurt, especially with the way the hydraulic systems are now.
Yeah.
It's not really going to kill you to go with an upgrade.
I know there's comfortable mid-grounds. I just feel like most people go sailing past them.
It's just because, it's probably because you have the personal experience.
Yeah, for sure.
So you don't need to get an extreme. Traditionally, it's a heavy-duty pressure plate mm-hmm. or an extreme pressure plate. Now, it's important to understand the pressure plate is almost always never a brand new part that clutch company made.
Yeah.
It's almost always something that they bought as a OEM cheapy unit, mm-hmm. tore it apart and upgraded, put it back together, put some spray paint, and now it's yours. None of them have really invested, I'm sure some of them have, really somewhere along the line invested in stamping out the different pressure plate covers. Mm-hmm. They don't do that. They really don't.
They're more like a rebuild.
They take a stock clutch and then they rebuild it, mm-hmm. which is why on your aftermarket clutch oftentimes, and they try to hide this to not confuse people by grinding off the Exidy Daikin or the Luke branding that's on the hub or whatever, but
it's still there.
It's not, it's if you open up your performance clutch and it does have some alternative branding on it that seems like a pedestrian brand, that's because that's how it started its life out. So what they'll do is they'll put a new diaphragm in, they'll put new straps which hold all this stuff together, and that's what makes it have the clamping force. Mm-hmm. So again, you've got kind of your heavy duty level, and then you've got kind of your, you know, extreme level pressure mm-hmm. plates. You probably had an extreme one.
It was closer to
pretty
that.
Pretty heavy, yeah.
There were a few tiers above it, but not
right.
much.
Right. Now, a couple of them do make their own diaphragms, but, diaphragm is something that they would make, but the whole cover, there's very few, I think, that actually make a completely ground up new one. Mm-hmm. So anyway, just kind of keep that in mind. Then you've got the disc, right? The disc is the flat part that goes in between the flywheel mm-hmm. and the clutch cover. And it'll have a range of different shapes and sizes and materials and blah, 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 blah. And every one of their manufacturers has a different sort of way, or this is what really makes one clutch different from another. Mm-hmm. Because Clutchmaster's taking a stock pressure plate, tearing it apart, putting thicker straps and a new diaphragm isn't all that different from ACT or whoever else doing the same thing.
Yeah.
They all do the same thing to the pressure plate. Mm-hmm. Upgrade the clamping force by changing some of the springs and shit inside.
Yeah.
The disc is where they get their identity from. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, here's where I have to make a little bit of a bitch about stages.
I mean, I think there's nothing but bitching about stages to do. There's no real benefit. It's just marketing jargon.
Well, here's the thing. I get the call. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for a stage 3 clutch.
There you go.
A stage 3
of
clutch.
What?
What does that mean? Because a stage 3 from Spec and a stage 3 from Clutchmasters and a stage 3 from Exidy and Action and
not
blah, 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 da, da, da. It's all different.
Yeah.
It's all different. And so the stage thing, and I really like actually what Clutchmasters did.
Yeah.
They must have done this on purpose where they've gone to FX100, FX200, FX250.
Is that foot-pounds?
No, it's just a different way of saying the level of the clutch without using the word stage. And they could go, as opposed to, they can kind of like have in-between levels that way too. Mm-hmm. As opposed to Spec, who's got stage 1, stage 2, stage 3. But then if they want an in-between, then they got 2+ or 3+.
Okay.
And
it's fairly ambiguous.
Their clutches from one to another is like sometimes wildly different.
Hmm.
You know, on a J-Series, for example, mm-hmm. a stage 2, and I'm probably getting this wrong, so don't Word isn't bond. But what you'll find is that a stage two on a J series may have a standard self-adjusting pressure plate, which isn't going to be upgraded at all, because every time they try upgrading those things,
it's
a fail.
It's a mess, yeah.
Yeah, so they'll have the self-adjusting pressure plate and an upgraded disc, and that's meant to be used on a stock flywheel. And then they'll have like the 2 Plus, which is their standard diaphragm pressure plate, which is meant to be used with a specific disc and got to use their flywheel.
Gotcha.
And then stage 3 might have the same sort of layout but a different disc, and the stage 3 Plus is again a totally different disc and a totally different fly. You couldn't use the same parts even amongst the same stages sometimes. I could be wrong about that, but here's the thing. I've been screwed enough times by customers saying it doesn't fit or it doesn't work to just know, don't color outside the lines with spec, right? It's a good product, but you know, definitely don't take it for granted.
Do your homework, yeah.
But if we're talking about, what it means is if we're talking about stage 3, we have to know which brand we're talking about too.
Yeah.
And the clutch industry has unfortunately started, maybe tried to get away from, but overall been saddled with this notion that the stages is sort of a universal thing. But here's the thing. What I've noticed as common, right? When somebody says stage 1, it means I just need a new clutch, but I'd like something that's a little bit, quote unquote, better, sportier,
like
whatever.
OEM Plus.
OEM Plus, right? Stage 1 Organic from Exidy, the FX100 from Clutchmasters. These are really great ones to get off the ground. If you're just looking for a new clutch and you kind of don't want it to wear out too early, you know, but you would like a little bit more confident pedal, and so that'll give you more clamping force for when you're slamming gears on the highway, but it won't really interrupt your daily use.
Overwhelmingly, that is what I prefer.
That is actually what 90% of people probably should be buying, is a stage one of something. Right? Stage two, I often look at that as the, I'm the FBO guy, right? I'm all bolted on, right? I might have some mild boost going on, but I still want my car to be drivable, right? With Clutchmasters, you get, you know, kind of a unique material that they have. They don't always last as long. With the grippier material, it can wear out faster, right? So I'm not saying that they wear out fast. I'm just saying that if you get a performance clutch in your car, something that's a little bit more street performancey, do not be surprised when it doesn't last 100,000 miles.
And I mean, that's like sport tires too. You can't expect them to last quite as long because the compound is grippier. It wears out quicker.
It's absolutely true. Like, you know, so please don't be disappointed when you only got 30 or 40,000 miles out of the clutch, but you were driving it the way
You know,
it was kind of meant to be driven, you know, launching here and there and doing racing your buddies, doing them burnouts, whatever. I saw you on YouTube or, you know, don't do that, but, you know, I saw you. So your clutch wore out, right? Like, and then, you know, stage three is for the, I've got real power. I need to hold it, right? And so I'm going a more extreme clutch direction. Most of the time, a stage three is either going to have a puck clutch, which is sort of like an on-off switch for your clutch pedal.
It feels like it,
And or an extreme level pressure plate. So again, it depends on the brand. So really, honestly, if you aren't running actual boost, right? And, you know, I don't mean the English racing definition of actual boost.
30 PSI.
Real boost starts at 30 PSI. I just mean, like, if you are, what, let's just say doubling the horsepower of your factory engine, then you might be looking at your stage threes. But again, it only really depends on how you're driving the car. If it's a road race car or an autocross car, it's not going to matter that much. If you're drag racing, it becomes very important.
It sure does, because that shock load can really F them up.
Well, what you need it to hold, though.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It, you know, when you dump the clutch at RPM in a high traction environment, the clutch has got to hold. You know, so that you can break your axles.
Exactly. And that was actually, that was something that I wanted to discuss too, is that if you way over buy the clutch, something else goes instead.
Yeah, something else might go instead. And so, honestly, you know, you do kind of want, you know, you need to be able to feather your clutch depending on what you're doing. So,
yeah, I personally, in most circumstances, I'm like, a clutch is going to be cheaper and easier to replace than like
almost
axles,
everything
the rest
else.
Of my drivetrain.
You know,
yeah.
And, but, you know, the caveat is you got to pull your transmission out.
Of
it's a big job.
Of course. It can be. Yeah, some cars are a nightmare and others, you know, they're not so bad.
Yeah. So that's a little bit about the stages. That's a bit about the flywheels. Yeah. I want to make one final conversation topic about clutches, and that's when they fail.
Yeah.
Right? If you're not putting a stock clutch in your car, accept the, I don't want to say 50-50 odds.
The inevitable.
But
yes.
expect something to fail.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, for me.
Be really, really glad when it doesn't.
It was the throwout bearing for me.
Right.
That was what ended it.
The throwout bearing, you
and
know.
Get a new throwout bearing when you do the clutch. That's
yeah, and get a high quality one,
yes,
too. I mean,
get
I think about what the throwout bearing does, and I think how much abuse this poor thing takes.
Mm-hmm.
It's all that dirt flying around.
Yeah.
You're pushing on and off all the time. It's spinning. It's not spinning.
And especially as you upgrade the pressure plate, it's like the force that it is under.
Yeah, I mean, I pity the throwout bearing. Get a good one.
It's a hard job.
Yeah. But, you know, so throwout bearing aside, pilot bearing aside, you know, you kind of got to anticipate that something may be going to go wrong.
Yeah.
You know, they've got to be put in right. You know, the Osco flywheel for a J-Series comes with a little metal ring called a torque plate.
Mm-hmm.
And what it's supposed to go on top of the flywheel, so you put the bolts down and the bolts torque against that instead of the aluminum,
okay.
Right? I've had people put it behind the flywheel like it's a spacer.
Like
and then
gasket.
They get the aforementioned clutch.
Warping.
And it's only very, very thin. It's only like a millimeter or something thick.
Okay.
But it screws up the engagement, and I've had people with jacked up thrust bearings because of it. So if you don't know that, you pitfall it. I mean, I had put a clutch in a car one time early on, and I didn't have all the dowel pins in.
Mm.
Between the transmission case.
So was it like rocking?
So what'll happen is that you'll get some deflection between the transmission and the engine, and it'll wear out the hub on your clutch disc, right? Springs. The springs can eject themselves from the disc. There's a, you know, a damping effect that they have, but they do move and they do get under load.
Yeah, and they're in like a little kind of pocket where a lot of times you can see the spring.
Yeah, I mean, so. And they're captive in there, but if you're abusing it, they will get fatigued. The material will wear. This is not hardened, upgraded material. A lot of times the hubs, just like the clutch covers, are reused OEM units. They don't always beef those things up.
Yeah.
So it's not always something that's meant to be like abused.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be real. Like, people abuse the crap out of their cars.
Oh, yeah.
And then they get surprised when something fails. If your stock clutch failed because you were beating the shit out of it, and then you put a more robust clutch in there, it's still going to fail.
Yep.
It's just going to do it. It's just going to allow you to beat on it more before it fails. Like, more aggressive abuse. And so the reality is that a failed clutch after you just basically did it, right, is always painful because it's a lot of work pulling the transmission out. And if you're not doing it yourself, you're paying somebody. I don't know one mechanic wants to do that for free. And, you know, I've come under fire for this. Like, listen, we don't cover the warranty. Like, any warranty that might be there doesn't cover the labor.
It's parts, yeah.
It's covering the parts, and they want evidence that it failed first, because you know what? People abuse these things. They send, when by the time they send it in, you can see physically on the parts that there was abuse.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and unless there's some anomaly, now I just got done with a situation with two distinct customers that were using a clutch. And
they both use the same type?
They had the same, not the same exact spec, but the same brand. And these guys both had failures early on in 2021. And these failures happened within a couple of thousand miles. One of them was within a couple of hundred miles.
Whoa.
And I thought that, listen, there's no way, right? I talked to both of the customers. I had words with the mechanics. And it comes down to faith. I don't believe that they were put in wrong, and I don't believe that the people abused the clutches. And I also believe that if they were abusing the clutches, that it's just sort of unlikely that they could have caused the type of damage that happened in the truncated period of time that it was. I felt like something had to be up with these clutches, right? Mm-hmm. And the long story made very short is that we ended up eating these clutches, got back what we could get back. We got them back, rebuilt. One of them we resold, and the guy's doing fine. The other one, I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the manufacturer. That's not the brand.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to tell you all.
Sure.
Just go by what's not available on my website, okay? And the other one, I ended up giving him a credit, too, just because it was like, this took almost a year. I battled with the company that produced them. Mm-hmm. I finally got some level of service from the company that manufactured it when the producer was a fly-by-night piece of shit. Listen, like, they're around. They've got a name in the Acura community, mm-hmm. and few people like dealing with these people, and it took me a really long time to hang it up and say, I'm just not selling it anymore. It's just not available for my store.
Yeah, well,
if you want it, go to them. And I've had plenty of people come to me because they wanted the product, but they didn't want to deal with them. So
they're like, hey, can you be my middleman?
Yeah. So I'm just not selling it anymore. And I came out of pocket because I was on the side of the customer in these particular cases. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what, Spec, Clutch Masters, those guys are there. But they're on the defense from minute one.
Yeah.
Right? They don't. And it'll feel to the customer like they're putting it back on you. Mm-hmm. But the real story there is they need evidence.
Yeah. I mean, with warranties, overwhelmingly, even from manufacturers, you're guilty until proven innocent. Like, they have to run you through that suspicion.
Absolutely.
Because otherwise, they would just pay out on every guy that was sitting in parking lot doing a burnout from the moment they got in the car and then raging because they couldn't drive it like an asshole all the time.
I had a Bose subwoofer. I had a Bose soundbar and subwoofer thing, and this thing shit out on me like three times.
Oh,
don't buy Bose.
That's too bad.
But I had to, at one point, send my bass module in, and they inspected it, and they were like, nah, this thing, you know, it has to be replaced or whatever. So they sold me another one at a discounted price. Great, whatever. But it meant that I had to go without bass for a while.
Yeah, which sucks.
People with a car have no such luxury a lot of times.
Yeah.
Because, you know, here you are. I'll paint the picture. Car's on the rack. Tranny's out. Car can't move, need a new clutch, got a fight with somebody about getting another one, and it could take 2 or 3 days just to get replies, and now what they want is for me to send it back for inspection before they'll send me a new one.
Yeah.
So my choice is I can buy another clutch because my car's got to get on the road because the mechanic can't have it on his rack, and even if he puts it out in his yard, he's going to start charging me storage after 3 or 4 days. Yeah. You're between a rock and a hard place. Yep. You're buying a new clutch, putting it in, driving away, and now I've got a defective clutch, the so-called defective clutch, that I want a refund on. Mm-hmm. And you're coming back to me, the retailer, and I'm like, look, I have nothing to do with any of this.
Yeah.
But the reality of the situation is that there is a process for getting a warranty, and it's not special just because it was a clutch.
Yeah.
This is something I feel like is wrong in the industry. And I've dabbled with the idea of making clutches of our own brand just so that I could do the right thing, get the guy's car running, take back his worn out, whatever other parts, refurbish them, and then resell them.
Yeah.
Right? Because they can be made good.
Yeah.
Right? But, and then have some level of support for the labor reimbursement, if indeed we find that there was a failure of the product.
Of the part,
The picture I'm envisioning is, I sell you a clutch, I guarantee it's going to work. If you have a breakage, we'll get you replacement parts right away, right? You cover the labor. Mm-hmm. When we get the old parts back and inspect them, we come to a determination that it failed on its own.
Yeah.
Then we'll reimburse a portion of the labor. Mm-hmm. We can't do it all. That would not be, equitable.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
But, well, it's not that it's a lot of money.
Well, it's
not, that it's a lot of money. Listen, a person chooses which clutch they're going to buy. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you, that's why the opening statement was, as soon as you start coloring out of them, I got a factory clutch, mm-hmm. you're no longer buying something that was built specifically for reliability, yeah. quietness, and easy driving.
Yeah.
You're buying something that was intended to be abused. Mm-hmm. And when you abuse it, the presumption of a warranty has got to go out the window.
Yeah.
But people want support.
Of course.
Right? So there's got to be some means of saying, we'll support your labor cost mm-hmm. to a degree.
Yeah.
You know, gonna be prorated.
Yeah.
You know, we figure the life on the clutch is 50K. You got 20 out of it. So maybe we can compensate somewhere in that window, mm-hmm. like a proration, right? Something like that. I don't have this fleshed out yet.
Sure.
But the concept is to provide some of that support after the fact, because then it takes off the table the fact that your car is going to be down with all this monkeying around.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, if you send back a part, I'll have to replace and refurbish some of it. If it looks like abuse, and we'll know what things lead to abuse and what things don't, mm-hmm. then we'll charge you for rebuilding the clutch.
Yeah.
Right? If it looks like it failed, then we'll cover it. Mm-hmm. And the labor we can help you out with, depending on if there's, maybe we sell you a service plan or something like that.
Yeah, it'd have to be something like that.
Yeah. So that's my thought, right? Because the way that everybody else does it now is like when a blender breaks, mm-hmm. send it in.
Yeah.
Right? Live without a blender for a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. This industry doesn't like working like that at all. And this part makes it really, really difficult to work like that.
Yeah. And, you know, if this is one of your only cars or your only car, you're up shit creek.
I think we talked about that in the past.
Yeah, we have.
Well, anyway, so that's a lot about clutches. How to kind of pick one, mm-hmm. right? What sort of the meaning is behind some of the terminology, some of what you see when you open the box. Stages, don't go by stages.
Yeah.
Get the easiest clutch you can for the driving and the power that you're, you know, going to put into it.
Yeah.
Definitely get a lightweight flywheel. You know, the lighter the better. The only reason to get, what is it, competition clutch. They have a mega light flywheel.
Yeah.
And then just a light one.
And that's what I got. I got the just a light one.
Well, get the mega light one. There's no reason not to get the mega light one, because it's like, if we're going from 1 to 10, mm-hmm. right, what's the difference? If 10 is a factory one, you're talking about the difference between 2 and 4. Like, well,
for some reason, I seem to think that that was going... I don't really remember why I made the decision, but I thought at the time it was going to make it more drivable, I think. I didn't realize what I was going to do to
it. If drivability is important, don't change the flywheel.
Yeah.
Use a factory one.
I felt like that mid-ground wasn't a bad spot, though. Really, what ruined
I'm sure that was fine.
What ruined it for me was that Omni and the pressure, and I'm assuming the pressure plate. But everybody that I ever heard that bought that Omni CMC, they were like, yeah, it's like as hard as a fucking rock.
It makes me wonder if it actually had too small of orifice or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know, something like that.
It had to be something. Maybe the cylinder was too small.
I think it was originally designed for the RSX, so there was some kind of talk about like it fits on the Civic, but the lines aren't quite the same. And there was like the system that it was attached to was not
clutch hydraulics is a different topic.
It is,
but
yes.
But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people, especially drag racers, that would prefer having a heavier flywheel.
Yeah,
because you know that inertia of the engine, it helps it keep accelerating, even though. It helps you through the shifts, even though it's maybe not as fast as revving. If you've got enough horsepower, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, and it didn't matter a whole lot with that supercharger.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I mean, you know, in its defense, that setup gripped like an absolute monster. Like, if you just dumped the clutch, boom, you were off.
Oh, yeah,
off.
I bet
there
it
was,
did.
There was no slip, there was nothing. It just, bop, fired
you off.
Well,
it's like, you know, race cars feel great on the racetrack.
They do.
You know, but you try to drive them even in the paddock, it's no good.
Yeah.
You know? miserable on the street and all this. So when it's doing what it's intended to do, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But just, you know, don't, my own spiel about this is just don't confuse your uses with the car. Be real with yourself about how you're using it. Because if it's going to be a race car, then it's not going to be a daily. And if it's going to be a daily, then it's not really going to be a race car. Don't try and make a terrible compromise hybrid of the two. Just make it one or the other and live with it.
Unless you're sadistic. Some people are.
Yeah.
Some people are fine that way.
Yeah.
But whatever. Anyways. We're not talking to them right now.
No.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed this conversation. I feel like it was jam-packed full. I initially thought that this would be a shorter podcast, and it is 45 minutes long.
It's shorter for our current theme.
I thought it was going to be shorter, and then I thought it was going to be... Oh, God, Graham.
What, like a double header?
Yeah, but I wanted it to be shorter.
Okay.
I guess it doesn't really
matter. This is
shorter.
We did almost... We
yeah,
did
but
over
I didn't say that I bought
time.
That Civic.
Oh, you did? Well, for the next episode, right?
Oh, God.
Okay. Well,
okay.
Tune in
we'll
next time.
We'll save it for next time because I don't want these pods to become hour and plus tombs of... They don't need to be. This is about clutches. Tune in for the Civic.
Yes.
The Civic is a fun story.
Tune in next time. I'm sure it is.
Yeah, it was kind of fun.
Okay.
All right.
Cool. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.